Breast cancer is a leading cause of death among women. Every 2 minutes, a woman is being diagnosed with some form of breast cancer. That's right. There are different forms of breast cancer, which determine the necessary treatment path. As you would correctly assume, early treatment improves the chance for survival. Recently, the FDA approved a new treatment for an early form of breast cancer. Joining us now to discuss the potential this treatment holds and the impact it's already had is Senior Investigator of Breast Cancer Research Programs with Sarah Cannon, Dr. Denise Yardley, and Breast Cancer Survivor Allison Fields. Thanks for being here today, ladies.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So, Dr. Yardley, as I said in the intro, different forms of breast cancer, how important is it to realize those differences, and what do they mean as far as the path of treatment?
So I think it's exquisitely important to recognize what specific subtype of breast cancer a patient has, and we recognize now about three main categories, the hormone receptor positive, the triple negative breast cancer, and then the HER2 positive. And the reason it's become so important is that we really have now dedicated treatments that are specific for those specific subtypes. And so to prescribe the appropriate treatments, we want to identify the specific subtype a patient has. And, you know, with early detection and earlier diagnosis of early stage breast cancer, applying those specific treatments to the specific subtypes can really increase the outcomes and survivability and cure rates for patients facing a diagnosis of breast cancer.
And Allison, for your specific situation, what was it that you were facing?
Well, I was trying to figure out how to kick this in the butt. Coming from a family of breast cancer survivors, my grandmother and my mother had breast cancer, and it was important to me to find out what type of breast cancer I had and how best to attack that type of breast cancer.
And Dr. Yardley, with what Allison just said about the generations and the thread connecting them with the breast cancer history, that's something a lot of women have to be really aware of, don't they?
Yeah, I think we've really come a far way in recognizing the importance of family history and being able to actually get tested to see if there is a genetic predisposition in the family. That still only accounts for a handful of our breast cancer patients that are facing this diagnosis. The vast majority are still sporadic breast cancer survivor patients.
Over that awareness, that probably is the motivator for a lot closer attention through just routine medical care.
No, absolutely. It's just trying to get that awareness and the early screening. And I think, again, it leads to an earlier diagnosis of breast cancer. We get into the subtypes and trying to identify which one specifically, such as the 15 to 20% that are HER2 positive. And, you know, we're here today on behalf of Genentech to really talk about some of the late and greatest treatments for HER2 positive breast cancer and welcome in December 2017 the FDA approval of Perjeta with Herceptin that has side effects of rash and diarrhea, but in combination with Herceptin, Perjeta in early stage HER2-positive breast cancer has the best chance of improving the outcomes for those patients who are appropriate for this treatment.
Has there been a treatment for HER2-positive breast cancer before that this is a radical change, or is this a new idea, new treatment, new approach?
It's actually a new indication. So when we look at HER2-positive breast cancer, really the first specific drug for that was approved in 1998, and that was Herceptin. In 2006, it was added to the management of early-stage HER2-positive breast cancer. And then we saw the development of Perjeta, first approved in 2012 for our advanced patients. Then in 2013, it got approved to be given to patients who are appropriate for treatment prior to surgery. And then in December, just a few months ago, it is approved now to be part of the management with Herceptin for early-stage HER2-positive breast cancer patients. So we've seen an evolution in the development and now approvals and now into the early stage where we have the best chance of continuing to improve the outcomes of patients facing a diagnosis of HER2 early-stage breast cancer and improving their survivability.
Talking with Denise Yardley, who is Senior Investigator of Breast Cancer Research Programs with Sarah Cannon and Breast Cancer Survivor Allison Fields here on Issues and Ideas. When you look at New Jersey, too, the cancer incident rate is on the average almost 132 per 100,000 women. And for the mortality rate, it's 23.4 women per 100,000 women. That's just in New Jersey being one of the highest states with the cancer rates. So for Allison, as far as your experience, how did this new treatment come to your attention? It was a trial, I understand. Were there concerns, precautions? Did you consult and get a lot of information before you took the step? How did all that work?
Well, I had a family friend who had told me about Dr. Yardley. He actually works in the industry as well, and so I sought her out knowing that she would probably have the latest and greatest, and I enrolled in a clinical trial, which was double-blind, meaning I didn't know if I was getting the medication, nor did Dr. Yardley. And so as for risks, it was already approved for late-stage breast cancer, so I knew it had already done a lot of FDA trials with that, so I didn't really have anything to lose. If I got it, that was great, and if I didn't, I couldn't get it any other way. So one thing that I would like to say, though, is there's a lot of resources out there for patients and their families, and one of the things is Living Beyond Breast Cancer, which is the website is lbbc.org, and that can be really helpful in trying to learn about different types of breast cancer and what you can do to help yourself. It's been great talking to you today.
Absolutely. Dr. Yardley, Dr. Denise Yardley, and Allison Fields, thank you so much for giving us the information. And Dr. Yardley, if someone wants to find out more, is this something they consult with their doctors with? Is this something medical professionals can go to a resource for?
Well, if the medical professionals, certainly guide our patients to speak with their medical professionals, and they have a variety of resources on the Internet. They have continuing medical education courses that they take and updates. And then if there's specific questions, they can direct them to my institution's website, AskSarahNow.com.
Dr. Denise Yardley, Allison Fields, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.